This freedom of this room. We welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. Rakatu shede bosom brakiata. He se rakotu shede bosom ba. For you enter a room and you sit on a throne. Rakatu shede bosom. But we all bow down before you, Lord, and give you glory and glory and glory. Yes. You set the atmosphere.
Thank you.
You set the atmosphere. So Lord, we ask that you set in our minds and our hearts. You set the atmosphere. For when you enter, that that does not belong must leave.
Yeah.
As light expels darkness,
yeah.
You set the atmosphere. So welcome, Holy Spirit, welcome. We submit our minds and our hearts before you. We place before your throne all our burdens and worries. For nothing measures for your glory. Nothing measures. For when you enter, you set the atmosphere. And you make it holy. And you make it holy, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are walking this place. And you sit with peace. That is then given unto us. Lord, we receive your peace. We receive your peace, for you set the atmosphere. Interpret, please. Speak, Holy Spirit, we're listening. Speak, Holy Spirit, we're listening.
What you're witnessing in the earth right now is a great repositioning. Brian, we're repositioning many things on the earth, and I'm repositioning hearts right now. For who is with me, says the Lord, I will look around and I will stretch out my arms and I will cry out to those that do not yet know my name, but I am sending you. I am repositioning you. Do you not hear? Do you not see? Do you not perceive? Do you not understand? It is I that have lit your fire. It is I that have stoked your fire. For I am the fire within you. For I am a consuming fire, and I will consume all things.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy of it all. Wonder choir, please. Before we sit, let's just take a moment and just tell him. You're worthy of it all, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Gracias, Señor. Gracias, Señor. Gracias, Señor. Sí, Señor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, shit, it was. Yeah. Oh, shit. Yes, you do, Lord. Yes, you do, Lord. Yes, you do, Lord. We honor you today. We thank you for being with us. You're always welcome. You're always welcome. We thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May be seated, my friend. Thank you, Ezra. Thank you so much. As the Spirit of God was, as we were worshiping, let the Lord just enter into this place. just entered into this place and he sat. When the Lord sets all around everything and he changes the atmosphere. That's a shift that occurred in the spirit. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. The good about not being an emotional person that I'm not, it's very easy for me to know when it does enter. I don't get goosebumps. I've always wanted goosebumps when the Spirit of God moves. People say I fell and I roll. Haven't fallen, only even when I trip. One thing I know is that when he enters a place, it goes even inside of your bones, that even your cells knows he is here now, reverence, that even our cells bows. There are some times in our own particular life as we are given unto, and now we're going to give honor to Pastor Todd as we begin with the word in Isaiah 50, 4 and 5. That the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. When we go into what it feels concerning rebellious and the ear of the learned, sometimes it feels good when everything feels that you are learning what you're learning. But what about when all of a sudden that you think you know, you're not feeling it? There's no emotion. There's no mind. There has to be somewhere, and you feel that it might be a little bit distance because what you thought has not happened. Or what you have learned, you might not have applied it. And all of a sudden, am I being rebellious, Lord? You know, in Scripture, we find disciples that they have found themselves with such a powerful move with God. But Jesus knew it. Jesus selected me by name. And you know by that, being learned by the actual wisdom of God, which is Jesus. You could just imagine how these men of God felt when they're chosen by God. But when Jesus died, there was that gap. And only those that truly believe what they have learned from the Lord. No, God, I know that I've not been rebellious. But one thing I know about Jesus, that he does not do mistakes. When the Lord chooses you by name, gives you a gift or a talent into your spirit, he has not mistaken that moment. And when he has done that, there'll be a moment that you ask, Lord, did I hear wrong? Did I learn wrong? Or did I believe incorrectly? And in the Bible, we speak about a man who experienced this. One that Jesus selected, but in a way, he himself kind of doubted. And in the eyes of man, seemed a bit rebellious. Today, we know him as Doubting Thomas. It's sad that we call this man of God Doubting Thomas. It is a name that has been reigning over the years about this man. And the reason why is because there is a passage in Scripture that when we read it, it exposes his moment of faith. Today we go to the book of John, John chapter 20. We're going to read 20 verse 24, John chapter 20, John 20 verse 24, and he states, and now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he has said unto them, unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Let's stop there. This is a strong statement, stand from Thomas. He's literally denying the foundation of the Christian faith, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why? Because all those prior that have lived that says we are gods, they have died and they're still dead. But when Jesus said, I'll tell you in the third day, prophecies in the third day, the resurrection of Jesus is our foundation, because we too today do not pray to a dead God. There is an empty cross. Why? Because as they remove them, because there's also an empty grave, a tomb that no longer has the body of Christ. Why? Because he resurrected. That's where you and I can, in Jesus' name, in his name, our trust in his name, because of his resurrection, we could then cast out devils. Why? Because they know that his name of someone that's alive. That means that everything that Jesus did on the cross, all the promises that by his stripes were healed, that by the blood of him we are forgiven, that if we call his name, we shall be saved. It's all because of his resurrection. When Jesus resurrected, he signed the contract of the covenant on the cross and made it completely a covenant for you and I. That's why it is. But when Thomas said that, now we have to look about this type of faith. We think, well, he might not be a believer. I don't believe that. I believe he believed in Jesus. I believe that he loved Jesus. You know why? Because there in a moment, Jesus did not select them by mistake. He chose Thomas. And I praise God he chose Thomas. You know why? Because I know what he was going through. Because I had a Thomas moment. A Thomas moment where sometimes you say, God, where are you? I'm going through this. And you do not see him, feel him, or hear him. I remember the first time that we got called by ministry, we lived in Miami. And this evangelist that passed through Miami, we had heard, and we went up to the front and he had ministered. And as he's going one by one, he got unto me. And he said, you young man, he goes, select and get your wife and your son, pack your bags and go and move to South Carolina. Now this is in March of 2009. We were still going through the Great Recession. I was in IT working for a department of a company, and my boss had fired three other IT workers, kept the IT director and myself to work because of, well, everything that was happening during the time of the Great Recession. I remember that I went to his boss, and the boss and I banged on the door the next day because I couldn't take that off my mind. I don't know anybody in South Carolina. I had to Google, where's South Carolina? And I remember when he got down, I tell him, how do you know it was God that said that? He goes, I just know that it is. He goes, what about if I don't say yes? He said, well, he'll select somebody else. He was that type of man. And I remember I got in the car, I went, I prayed, and I asked my wife, well, if we're going to do this and fail, well, at least we'll fail trying if this is of God. Well, it was easy for me to say that because I had 4 months of savings account in my account. So let's just pack up, and we left. We got to South Carolina. We got in contact with a realtor that's also with Jesus today. And I remember that when we got together, he was able to find a house. And we got in there. We began our so-called ministry that the Lord has called unto us. I was excited. Woo! After 4 months. And I realized in 4 months, nobody knew exactly who we were. They didn't invite me. I didn't know how to offer the services that I myself didn't know what to do. And I realized that quickly the finances went completely gone. All 4 months of savings just disappeared. But see, before when I was in Miami, I was in IT during the week. And the weekends, I'll preach in the train stations. That was my ministry. I was a train preacher. For 8 years, I preached in the trains. And I remember that when I'm here, it was easy because, well, I got a nice check coming up every single 1st and 15th. I had no problem. My wife was a stay-at-home mom. Everything was being covered. It was good. And I preached the gospel on the weekends. But now, things have shifted. All of a sudden, I've exhausted 4 months of savings. Now, all of a sudden, I received my first final notice on my mail. I've never received one until I got into ministry. And I realized some things have occurred. And I said, hold on, I don't understand. I say yes to the Lord, and I've entered into a moment that I didn't know was about to cause friction with my faith. I was having a Thomas moment. Thomas moment since when you know that you have heard of God, so you move forward towards it. But then all of a sudden, you get to a moment that is, well, you begin to ask the Lord, Lord, was that you that said it? You start questioning it because now you're not seeing the results. See, the Bible gives us illustration here that this Thomas was asking, I need to see evidence. A see to believe type of faith. See, none of us want to admit that. All of us want to be an aggressive Peter, right? Yes, Lord, tell me and I'll walk on water. Right? Or maybe your friend might not be that aggressive. Maybe he's a little bit more like his brother, more simple. Well, we have to feed all these 5,000 people. Where are you going to feed them? Right? And yet, the simple faith of Andrew, the complete opposite of Peter, he said, there's a lad right there. There's a boy. Stored his two fish, poor kid, and the 5 corn rolls that he had and gave it unto the Jesus, but yet saw the biggest fish fry ever in history. Why? Because he believed the simple faith. I know that 2 fish and 5 breads are not going to feed a man. But he knew it's not me, it's him I'm giving it to. See, that's simple faith. But Thomas had a different type of account. And he was faced with a reality of him. And sometimes we ourselves, we ask, well, what about if I enter into that faith, into that Thomas moment of doubting, of asking God, I need to see your hand. God, show me your hand. See, none of us want to do that. Because if we come up to church and we tell somebody, hey, listen, I'm dealing with this problem with my faith. Can you pray for me? When you're done, that person will call somebody else. Hey, did you hear the ex doesn't believe in God? No, that's not what I said. I just said that I'm having problems with my faith. But because of things that way, we stay quiet. Because it's easier to come to church. It's easy to worship with such an anointing and lift up your hands because everybody's doing it. But inside, deep inside of you, you're struggling and you can't even sleep at night asking God, where are you, God? I remember when I started asking God in my Thomas moment, where are you, God? Did I hear wrong? I'm not even paying my bill. I don't understand what is going on. It got to a point that, mercy, my wife started only cooking noodles. We ran out of chicken. We didn't even have eggs. I said, girl, put an egg on that noodle. No, no eggs. Only noodles. Then we started eating noodles for lunch. Started noodles for dinner. Then I started just fast. Because fasting tastes better than noodles. And it got to the point that I got sick and tired. And it did not, in my mind, say, God, help me. I don't understand what's happening. I started doing side jobs and fixing people's computers just to pay the bills and feed my children. And I remember that I received my first anxiety attack. I didn't know what it was that until I got into ministry. And I remember I went in and I was asking God, God, help me. And I believe that in our faith with Jesus, we love God. I know Thomas loved Jesus because I love Jesus during my moment. I know Thomas, he understood. I cannot forget the memories of the power of God. What he saw. But Thomas needed to experience an encounter like no other. The Bible says, so he said to them, unless I see his hands, and the print of his nails. Verse 26, and after 8 days, his disciples were again inside. For 8 days. For 8 days, they spoke about how Jesus looked. This is where all of a sudden you're quiet and you're praying for God to provide for some financial issues that you're going through. And all of a sudden, a member in church, all of a sudden gets a promotion. I just want to testify. I got a raise. I got a promotion, right? And you're like, oh, good for you, you know? And you're trying to battle. You want to be happy, but in the same time, why, God? For 8 days, I hear that this person's getting a promotion or this person's getting healed, but I'm still sick or I'm still here or my wife is going, why, God? Show me your hand. Show me your hand. Because what Thomas was asking is, I just want to know that you're here. I've seen it before, and I know that you probably have said that, and they all, but they have seen you. But I just want to see your hand, God. I want to see that you're here for me too. I remember when I went back into my room. It was Matthew's room, and I was praying. And in my prayer, my frustration in my prayer, 8 days is a long time when your spouse is sick. 8 days is a long time when your child is sick and you're right there and kneeling down next to their bed praying, God, I know that you healed. I've called that by your stripes, but nothing is happening. God, please show me your hand. Show me your hand, Lord, because I know how to pay this bill. And I don't know where the money is coming from. My mathematics is not happening in my mind, Lord. It doesn't add up. Lord, show me your hand. And I remember as I stood there in my son's room, I picked up my phone. And I typed a text to my previous boss. And I started writing to him and I started telling him, listen, if I go back to Miami, will you accept me back? I will even take a race cut, a salary cut. I'll do whatever it is. And I started writing all of this. Now, you can imagine me writing this, going through this, knowing that I'm doubting Jesus. I'm doubting that he has called. It's an uncomfortable moment. It's an uncomfortable moment because you know that he's there. You know that he's hearing. He sees my text. Even if you try to hide it, he still sees it.
Yeah.
Your heart is calling out, God, I need you. Show me your hand. When we looked at Thomas' life, his life is incredible because God chose him. He knows that God chose him. And that Jesus loved Thomas. There, Thomas is hearing, oh, Thomas, you should have been there, Thomas. Whoa! Jesus walked in. My goodness, he was majestic. He walked in. There was light after him. His hair was like he just ironed it. You know, I mean, wow, he just walked in all glorious and majestic. And Thomas is there thinking, shut up, Peter. Because he himself is not there. But there are moments in our life that the Lord will see of all things. He sees what you are. Because what simply Thomas is asking is, show me your hand. I want to see his hand. I want to see Jesus again with his hand. Now remember we were finished and we started work. I came back from mowing the grass. I was in 2007, I was in ISIT. We started at $27 an hour. That might not seem a lot now. But in 2006, $27 was $27 an hour. It was very well. Yet I went to mow grass, and the guy paid me $25 for the whole day. You can imagine how I felt when I had to grab that lawnmower. And I said, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. Then I received the call. Is this Zex? Yes, it is. He goes, listen, an evangelist was passing by and well, he canceled on me. We got a service at night. Will you come over and minister? I said, I would love to go minister. He goes, yeah, can you check the calendar? I'll check my calendar. Yes, I'm free. Okay. And then I remember, he goes, okay, great. It will be on Sunday night. Oh, you could just imagine how I felt. Oh, I told Mercy, girl, we're going to eat chicken. You know what I'm saying? Get ready. Get the rice pot ready. We're going to buy black beans. My goodness, we're going to get ready for this meal. The only thing I'm thinking about, forget about preaching, though. I was thinking about the chicken and the rice and beans. That's what I was thinking about. Now, I remember as we gathered together, we drove. I was praising God, and Mercy told me, listen, the first thing we need to do is buy Pampers for Matthew. You see, Matthew was wearing Pampers of number five Pampers. You all here have children. You know that as they grow, well, everything grows in there. Well, he was at the number five Pampers. Now, remember, as we were standing together, we just praised the Lord. I said, okay, don't worry about it. We'll get it. As soon as they get the offering, we're going to go and get some number five Pampers for Matthew. So we get there, we minister, and the Holy Spirit was sent. Then after that, as we finished ministering, well, the pastor came up to me and goes, well, thank you, X. I appreciate it. We'll call you again. I said, praise God. There was nothing there. The pastor was a magician. He didn't make the money disappear. There was nothing in his offering to give unto us. And inside of me, anger came. I'm asking the Lord, Lord, show me your hand. And now that I could see it, wait, I was not able to see it. Oh, you could just imagine when we got out. I was looked up in heaven. When I looked at heaven, it was all stars. And I said, forgive me. And I took out my phone and I sent a text. And inside my heart broke because I have given in doubt. Forgive me, Jesus. I failed you. And as I started walking to the car, there was a couple that was there. You see, the Bible tells us something very important. When we ourselves are in the midst of what we think we got it, the Lord's hand will always be upon our life. You might not see it because His hand is big. His direction in our lives. But one thing I guarantee you, when you look either way, you will see His fingers all over your life. But sometimes we miss that because I know I did. When I started walking away to the car, angry, Mercy says, what are we going to do with Matthew's Pampers? I said, don't worry about it. In Nicaragua, where I'm from, they use diapers. So I'm going to give you my shirt. You're going to wrap the boy. And with anger, I went back into the car. And as I was going to the car, I get a call. Excuse me, X, can you come over and pray for us? So we turn around and we went to go pray for them. As we prayed for them, they said, you know what? He goes, we were in the grocery store. As we were in the grocery store, we got some feeling about to give something unto you. I don't know if you're going to need it. He goes, they went to the trunk, and when they went to the trunk, they opened it. And right out of the trunk, they took out the number five box of Pampers. When I saw the number five box, not number four, not number three, Matthew needed number five box of Pampers. And when I saw that number five box of Pampers come out of that trunk, Mercy began to cry. I began to cry before my throat because, man, they really don't cry. So I started going, and I remember I grabbed that, and we were cheering, and we started jumping up and down. And she's like, it's just a box of Pampers. But see, she did not know that back in Irmo, I was inside a room saying, God, show me your hand, Lord. Show me your hand. You see, that pastor could have given me $1,000 that day. It would have meant nothing to me more like it did that number five box of Pampers. The Bible tells us that all of a sudden, Jesus entered. Verse 27. And Jesus, verse 27, in the after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. I could just imagine Thomas when Jesus entered. Everybody got up at the table. Jesus! And they all ran to Jesus. But you know who didn't get up and ran? Thomas. Because Thomas recognized the voice, the same voice that loved them, the same voice that have called them the first time, the voice of grace. And I believe that that's when Jesus said, Thomas, Thomas. And I could see Thomas with shame and embarrassment covered himself in the table. Thomas. Look here, son. I could see Thomas turn and look at Jesus, and he did not see an angry Jesus. He didn't see a Jesus with malice in his eyes or hatred saying, I'm disappointed of you. He didn't say, get out, Thomas, for I know what you have said. I know what you have done. I know that you doubted me. Why are you in the same room? Get out, Thomas. But he did not say that. Instead, Jesus said, look, Thomas, look at my hands. Because I'd rather you believe than not believe. Sometimes we ask ourselves and believe that those are moments. I asked Ezra to join me. We think that we have to think in our mind saying, we cannot ask God for things like that because you'll get angry in our voice. Let me tell you, Jesus wants us to believe. What will it take for us to believe? If we're already his chosen by name, and we're having a Thomas moment, I guarantee you, he'd rather you say, Lord, I'd rather you please show me your hand. What is it that you need Jesus to show you his hand? For me, it was that. It was that moment. And I thank God that he didn't judge me. I thank God that he didn't reject me. I thank God that after I sent that text, he still had grace for me. I thank God that after I sent that unbelieving text, he still chose me. And he loved me. When I went to India for the first time, we were working within many of the pastors that work in the jungle. So we had to travel inland. And we had to live and stay with them, even within a tent. And I remember as we went, you see temples and temples and temples. And then you see a small church called St. Thomas. Then we go to another village and we have to go drive. Temple. St. Thomas. Then we get to another drive, temple, St. Thomas. And I asked my driver through the interpreter, tell me, who is this Tommy guy building churches? And he said, in America, you call him Doubting Thomas. But here in India, we call him St. Thomas, the apostle who came to India with the power of the Holy Spirit that preached to our land, and many of our people have been converted. These churches have been here for years and years and decades and centuries, have been here and has been producing more and more converts for Jesus Christ. And when the Indian government cornered Thomas, they gave him an option. Shall you doubt again, and we will release you. But Thomas refused. And I believe he refused that as they pierced his side, and the blood of Thomas began to bow upon the land of India. As he stood there on the ground dying, I believe he looked up in heaven. And the reason why he didn't, it wasn't because he was a great and powerful preacher. It's because there was a graceful Jesus that loved them. That even in failure and in doubt, he still showed them his hand. In our life, we always will have a moment of Thomas. We cannot just give up and say, Lord, I don't want, I'm scared. It's okay to ask, Lord, in my moment now, show me your hand. As you stand with me, I want to pray. When the Lord enters, the atmosphere changes. It shifts to a moment. And we could come to him with burdensome that's over our shoulder and our mind. Moments that we ask him, so Lord, I know I should know better because I knew better. I was already a Christian. I knew the word and I still sent it out. My heart got heavy because I sent that text. But I praise God that his grace is much heavier than mine. This year, we'll be celebrating 16 years of ministry. And I don't think it's because I'm a great speaker. or because my anointing is overwhelming, overflow. I believe it's because he showed me his hand. And because he was good to me when I doubted, he should be good to me when I don't. Our trust is in him and is on his name. And if you carry that moment of Thomas, today we're going to pray and ask the Lord, show me your hand. So as I ask Matt and Missy to join me, and we're going to pray, and also Pastor Tom, we're going to pray quickly for all any of you that are here, that maybe you are going through this Thomas moment. Nobody might want to tell you. People might feel and say, I don't want to go through this. I don't want prayer. I don't want people to think or know what I have done. The grace of God is pure in his love. And I know that I have experienced it with such love. Jesus still loves you, even in the midst of doubt. People have called it, no, that's unbelief. Well, you know what? If you have unbelief, why not come to Jesus and let him deal with it? So the altar is open, my friend, as I ask to Ezra to lead us in worship. And we're just going to pray and lay hands on you. If you are going through a moment right now that you're doubting, a moment that right now, just like Thomas, that you just need God to intervene and show you his hand. Show you his hand of love, his grace. Any guilt is removed today. Any condemnation is moved today. Anything of you thinking, God, I cannot believe that that could happen, but you know that you need him to do it and intervene. God is still a miracle-powering God. So as we worship, we want to pray for you in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar is open. Come, and we're going to pray for you. Leader says. Si, Señor. Cura tu sede, babas. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Harakotushi de babas. Oh, we trust in you, Jesus. We trust in you, Jesus. You've been good because you are good. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against anything that's resulting within doubt in our minds and our lives. Lord, we break it right now in the name of Jesus. And we ask, Lord, that you intervene like you have before. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, peace. Peace to the storm. Peace to the storm in your mind. As he walks in, you'll see his hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord. How can I pray for you, sir?
Sir, I learned a few years ago that I was being called into ministering, and I learned that I was going to be persecuted. I had people talking bad about me, accusing me of things, and I realized that it was building me. God was taking away my pride, and right now where I'm at, I feel very certain that I'm about to have a transition, and it's a good thing, but it's going to be, I think, like a war, and it's going to cost. But it's, the Lord has told me, just embrace it. It's going to be a roller coaster. After you get off the roller coaster, everything will be fine. But I just am afraid of being persecuted again, you know? So
the ministry of persecution, it will never go. Persecution comes in different levels, different angles. Persecution comes in different characters.
Yes, sir.
What you have to pray is not that persecution doesn't come. It's that the Lord builds you to learn how to face this persecution and be victorious in every single attack.
Yes, sir.
Do not pray that persecution does not come. Instead, Lord, make me better in handling and facing this persecution, because the anointing that's over going to be after your life. And ministry, the more that you root it and the more you grow in ministry, persecution will increase. So not persecution not go, For blessed are those who are persecuted for the name of the Lord. Instead, embrace it and say, Lord, make me better to face this persecution. So that's what I'm going to pray about.
Yes, sir.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I thank you, Lord, because your anointing and your grace goes surpasses any of our understanding. And Lord, you built the banners and the walls necessary, Lord, for all this persecution. But at any that come attacks, Lord, you are scorned and gave unto us the blessing of those that are persecuted. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you give him the wisdom and the anointing, manage and handle, that he is more than a conqueror and victorious. So to stand as he will resist, stand in your word, stand. And Lord, that he will see your goodness, that those will fall on his side because of how he stands. And your name, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Amen. That was a wonderful message.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Come on, Ezra. Lead us. Come on. Come on, Ezra. Let's just let it read this. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Go back to the worship from the beginning. Just lead those. Do them again. Let's worship the Lord. Amen. Amen. How can I pray for you?
My hip.
Your hip again.
I can't heal. The mic here to save me. I do not perceive.
No.
I don't think I'm it's, bearing.
Yeah, it's both of them.
It's this hip, it's this knee, and ankles.
It's right side. Right side. Yeah.
Yes.
Come over here, please, and decide. Can you place your hand on her hip?
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
Right there? Right there? It's right there? Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we command left hip, bones, tendons, nerves, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we command you to restore yourself 100% in Jesus' name. Any fraction, damage that have occurred, we rebuke it. And we command it to be reversed now in Jesus' name. So we call you hip, knees, bones, tendons. No, left side of the legs. Be completely restored now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the joints, the ligaments, yeah, and the nerves.
Thank you.
We thank you, Lord. Yes. We complete restoration. Strength. Strength. We call strength unto these legs and hips, bones and mouth. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank you, Lord. And we call legs be submitted. That by the stripes of Jesus Christ, bones are healed. Ligaments are healed. Nerves are healed. In Jesus, muscles are healed. Nerves are healed. In Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we thank you. And Father, we rebuke any thought of condemnation and guilt of any untrust. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. We thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for testimony shall be birthed from these lips. I thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Ezra. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Speak a blessing over Ezra. Thank you, Lord, as his anointing comes, continue to mature as his skill. Thank you, Lord, that's beyond skill. Thank you for your hand. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. Thank you for your grace that you have placed. Son, you have grace. His eyes has grace. And he will grant grace in the eyes of man in your life. For you, God, you too will bring that anointing that will shift the atmosphere. I thank you. I thank you. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
If any one of you is here by not giving your life to Christ, you always want to give an opportunity. This journey is long, but it's wonderful.
Yes.
We cannot do it alone. It's not a solo one.